Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
We've each been given by God one lifetime with limited resources. How you steward those resources is your gift back to God. And today we're going to discover how to steward life in light of eternal priorities. Stay with us next with Dr. Paul Chappell, a new series, Stewarding Life. Truly, life is a gift from God, and each of us has one lifetime to live with limited resources. So here's the question today. Are you spending or are you investing your life? God has given you a life and filled it with resources like time and health and finances and relationships. How you steward those resources will determine whether you successfully fill God's eternal purpose for your life. I'm Kerry Schmidt, and this is Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. Daily in the Word comes to you every Monday through Friday, and we hope you'll join us for every step of this journey, stewarding life. You can visit us online at dailyintheword.org. When you do, you can listen to recent broadcasts, including all of the broadcasts for this series, Stewarding Life. And be sure to take a look at Dr. Chappell's new book that goes along with this series. It's entitled Stewarding Life. It's a couple hundred pages hardback, and it encapsulates all the great truths we're studying in one hardback book. You can find information about all of these resources at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today's message is entitled Stewarding the Gospel, Acts chapter 13. Here's Paul Chappell.
Well, today we continue our series learning about the gifts that God has given to us. And I believe that most of you would agree with me that one of the greatest gifts we could ever speak about is the gift of the gospel itself, the truth of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Somewhere along the line in your life, God gave to you the truth of his gospel. The fact that his son came to this world, died on an old rugged cross, and on the third day rose up again to the glory of God. Now, when we think about that truth, and when we think about the fact that we possess it, the question this morning is very simple. What are we going to do with the gospel message? We have received it, but what are we going to do with it? And to help us with that thought, I want you to look at the two verses that are in your notes this morning. Look there, first of all, at 2 Corinthians 5:19. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Would you say that last phrase with me, please? And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Say it one more time, please. And hath committed unto us. So when God saved you, he gave you something that he refers to here as the word of reconciliation. How many of you agree with me this morning that the gospel of Jesus Christ is God's word of reconciliation so a lost world can be reconciled to God the Father? We have the answer. We have the word of reconciliation. Now, notice this next verse. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says it this way. But as we were allowed of God to be put, notice the next phrase, in trust with the gospel. So God has placed the gospel into our possession. Now, right now, we're in the midst of football season, and a lot of people think about football, and probably Americans think about sports too much. But one of the things we know about football is that when a quarterback takes the ball and he places it into the hands of the halfback is taught how to receive that ball and how to hold that ball and how to get that ball across the goal line in order to make a score. And they're taught to hold on tightly because the defensive linemen are doing everything they can to take it away. You don't want to fumble this ball. And when we think about the gospel, the Bible says the gospel is the word of reconciliation. It has been committed unto us. And church, we are here this morning because we don't want to fumble the gospel message. We don't want to lose the message. We've got to get it to a lost and dying world. Take a minute with me and look at this football clip, and let me show you what I'm talking about as what we don't want to do.
Trying to get to the red zone. Hump fake. Critter's in trouble. Fumble the football. And the Lions, no, they don't have it back. It's still loose. Ronald Fleming has it, and he's got a touchdown. Oh, my goodness. You better pick it up. He fumbled the ball at the goal line. Ronald Fleming had a touchdown and lost the football. Unbelievable! Unbelievable!
Now, sad to say that many churches in America that have been given the gospel, because they have become self-centered, because they have become entertainment-orientated, they have fumbled the gospel message. While the world is waiting for the gospel, many Christians are fumbling around and not getting the gospel to the world. Brother Lien, would you come here for a moment? We did not introduce him earlier, but let's use Brother Lien as an example of what we're speaking about today. Brother Lien was saved because of Brother Connor's ministry in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. How old were you when you accepted Christ?
19 years old.
19 years old. He went to Bible college. Brother Lien pastored after Bible college for a few years. And let me grab this microphone. God has called you to which field, Brother Phil?
God's called us to the country of Indonesia.
God's called Brother Lien to the country of Indonesia. Now, at the age of 19, God gave him the gospel. And Brother Phil is saying, I don't want to waste God's investment in my life. I want to take the message of the gospel to the Indonesian people. And I want to say, church, this week, we don't want to fumble the responsibility that God's given to us. We want to help this man to get over to Indonesia and plant churches so that if one day he has to leave Indonesia or God calls him home, there will still be a light shining in Indonesia. Today we are saying we want to fulfill God's message and God's will for our church. Now notice in your notes there in Acts chapter 1 for a moment, in verse 8, let's get a scriptural connotation on where we're supposed to go with the gospel. Jesus tells us here, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Notice the word now, both, or simultaneously in, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. God says, I want you at the same time to reach your Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, California, America, North America, and the world. And someone says, how can we do that? We can't be in all these places. That's why God has given us missionaries, so that together we can reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you'll notice when Paul began the first missionary journey, the Bible says in verse 5 of Acts 13, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God. Every missionary with us this week has one burning passion: to go to a country and preach the word of God and to carry the gospel to a lost and dying world. Well, how can we be a part of that? How can we help to steward the gospel message? I want to give you three ways that you can be a part of this great process called missions. First of all, I want you to notice in Acts 13:1, the Bible says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch. The first thing we've got to understand is the importance of being included in the assembly, being a part of God's assembly. And that's why we're here today. I want you to see that missions is the work of local churches getting behind missionaries who plant other local churches. Notice in verse number 1, it says, there were in the church that was at Antioch. I want you to understand that this was an autonomous church. This church was an autonomous or self-supporting group of believers. What is a church? A church is a called out assembly of saved, baptized people. God has called us out as a church, as an assembly of people, for the purpose of propagating the gospel. We have been summoned for a purpose, and the purpose is to teach this world about Jesus Christ. Now, the founding of the church at Antioch was of an interesting origin. If you'll notice on this map, Antioch is just north of Jerusalem in modern-day Turkey. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 8 that there was a tremendous time of persecution that came to the church at Jerusalem. The Bible tells us there was a man named Stephen who became the first martyr of the Christian church. He was stoned because of his faith in Jesus Christ. And so the Bible tells us that when the persecution came, many people went north to Antioch and other places. Those who gathered at Antioch began to preach the gospel even to Gentiles. And Gentiles were saved and became a part of the church at Antioch. The Bible says in Acts 11:19, "Now they that were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word only unto the Jews only." And I want you to notice that as they were seeing people saved in the Jewish realm, then people began to come to Christ from the Gentile realm. Look at Acts 11:22 in your notes. "And these tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord." You know, when Barnabas got over to Antioch and saw those people getting saved, he was thrilled. It didn't matter if they were Jews or Gentiles. He was just glad the church at Antioch was doing great. It was an autonomous church. But notice, secondly, it was an accepting church. It was an accepting church. Now, throughout the book of Acts, you'll see many kinds of people coming to the Lord. And I want you, for the sake of time, to look at verse 1 and just see some of these names very quickly. It says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers." Notice, first of all, as Barnabas. Barnabas was a Levite. He was a native of Cyprus. So we see this man mentioned as being from Cyprus. Notice, secondly, there's another man named. His name is Simeon. And we see that Simeon, that was called Niger, this was of Latin origin, and his name was speaking of his demeanor and his culture. Notice then there's another name mentioned, Lucius of Cyrene. Cyrene is a city of northern Africa in modern-day Libya. And this man, Lucius, had come from Africa. Perhaps his business trade had brought him to Antioch, but he was there in Antioch as a part of the church. Then we see another name mentioned, the name Manaen. Manaen was brought up, the Bible says here, with Herod. He was a companion of one of the Herods. He was of an aristocratic background and had given much of his life with the house of Herod. And then finally we read, of course, of Saul of Jewish birth, a former Pharisee before his salvation. Now, what I want you to see in the anatomy of the church at Antioch, it was an international church. I want you to see it was an accepting church. And I want you to see that every soul matters to God. I want you to understand that the gospel is a message for everyone. And the ground is level at the cross. Gentiles, Africans, Romans, all of them had a place. Because for by grace are you saved. How many of you are thankful that God loves the whole world this morning? Amen. I read in the biography of Mahatma Gandhi a very sad story. Mahatma Gandhi had been living in India as a young man. He had become very discouraged with the caste system of Hinduism. And he had heard of the message of Christianity. Mahatma Gandhi attended a church on a particular Sunday. He walked into a church. Many in the church were of British origin. And he went there to hear about this one named Jesus. As Gandhi walked into the church, an usher came to him and said to him, "You might want to go down the street and worship with your own people." Gandhi said, "I came here to escape the caste system. If Christianity has one as well, then I do not need Jesus as my Savior." I want to say this morning that we ought always to be a welcoming church to every person who attends Lancaster Baptist Church. And that we should be thankful that our missionaries are going to every corner of the world, getting the gospel message to everyone who needs the Lord. Well, the Bible says in Acts 11:26 that they were called Christians first at Antioch. So if we're going to learn about how to steward the gospel and how to be a part of missions, I can't think of a better church to learn from than the church at Antioch. They were a church. They were included in the assembly. They were gathered together as a local assembly, waiting for God to work. That brings us to the second thought this morning. I want you to notice in your notes, not only were they included in the assembly, but they were inclined to the voice of God. They were ready to hear from God. They wanted God to speak in their midst. I hope that you are not here today just doing church. I pray that you want God to speak to your heart this morning. I pray that we want God to speak to our heart this week. Now, notice what it says in verse 2, please, of Acts 13. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now, God does not speak today in an audible voice. He speaks to us primarily through His Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why we open the Bible every time we meet and we preach the Word of God. But in the early moments of the church, before the Scriptures were bound and collected like this, the Spirit of God would speak into the church and prophets would speak the Word of God. And on this day, as they were praying and as they were fasting, the Holy Ghost spoke to them. And the people had an ear to hear what God had to say to them. Now, I want you to understand that many Christians today are not listening, they're not hearing what God has to say. Why is it that the church at Antioch heard God's message about missions? I want you to notice, first of all, it is because this was a consecrated time. This was a very serious time for these Christians. Notice it says in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord. The Greek word liturgio means to do a service to the Lord. They were not at church for themselves. They were at church for the Lord. And did you know that the Bible teaches that all of us can minister to the Lord? The Bible teaches that we are believer priests. All of us are believer priests. That may sound strange, but look in your notes at 1 Peter 2:5. It says here, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God. Did you know that when we sang this morning, we were singing to God as believer priests? We were offering to God our praise. When we give in the offering, we are offering to God our praise. We do not give money to the church. We give money to God through the church. And so we are believer priests. I'm sad to say that there are some churches, even in America, where people are taught that they must come to a pastor or a priest and confess their sin to a man, and the man will pray to God for them. My friend, Jesus Christ is the high priest. We are believer priests, and we can pray directly to God through Jesus Christ today. And so it was that here at Antioch, they were praying to God. It was a consecrated time. Oh, the modern self-centered church has so few being called to missions because there is no serious thought being given to listening to the voice of God. I remember living as a boy in Korea, and oftentimes at 4 and 5 in the morning, you would hear the Buddhist monks as they pounded on the drums and on the gourds, and they were calling people to come and to pray in the Buddhist temple. But then also, you would hear the bells of the churches ringing. For in recent years, millions of people in Korea have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. One time as a teenage boy, I asked a Christian man, why is it that you get up so early and you go to the church to pray at 4 or 5 every day? He said, if I would do that for Buddha, it is the least that I should do for Jesus Christ. That I would take my Christian life seriously. Oh, we need a consecration in our churches once again, where we come here today to hear from God, to be serious about the things of God. But I want you to see, secondly, it was a committed time. These Christians were very committed to the Lord. Notice what it says in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord, and notice the next two words, and fasted. Fasting is something that a person does when they want God's will, when they want God's power. And they say, God, more than I want the pleasures of this world, more than I want food, more than I want the pleasures of my wife or husband, more than I want anything else, God, I want your presence in my life. This church at Antioch heard the voice of God because they were seeking God in prayer and because they had fasted and they were praying in a very committed way. They said, we want God to work in our lives. Charles Spurgeon said, if there be any one point in which the Christian church ought to keep its fervor at a white heat, it is concerning missions. If there be anything about which we cannot tolerate lukewarmness, it is in the matter of sending the gospel to a dying world. I say to you this morning, as we begin this conference, we must be committed to the cause of worldwide missions. Jesus wants us to be committed. Jesus said in Matthew 10:38, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I am come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. And he that loveth his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Very serious words, words of commitment. When Jesus calls us to discipleship, he's not calling us to a Sunday morning one-hour Christianity. He's not calling us to a prosperity gospel. He's not calling us to this lukewarm kind of commitment. Jesus says, if you are going to follow me, I want you to be so committed that you so love me. He's not telling us to hate our mother and father. He's not telling us literally to hate our family. He's telling us that our love for him should be so great that our love for him, compared to our love for family, it almost would be like a hate instead of a love. Do you love Jesus this morning? Because you will not pray for missionaries. You will not give to missionaries. You will never go to the mission field until you first have the heart of God in the matter. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. In the 1700s, the father of modern day missions, a man by the name of William Carey, left the country of England and he went to India. And he spent 42 years of his life in India. And there he translated the Bible into 25 different languages. He started many churches. He established a Bible college in the city of Serampore. He was greatly used of God. Even to this day, pastors stand and preach who are the great-grandchildren of William Carey, spiritually speaking. William Carey was once asked, how do you describe the success of your ministry? What is the secret of your ministry? He said, the secret of my ministry is my crippled sister who lives in England. He said, every day of my life, I write a letter to her and I tell her of my burdens and of our projects. And I send them to her and she prays for me and she consecrates her life to praying for the missionary work in India. Do you understand this morning? Missions is not just the responsibility of the missionary, but all of us can pray for our missionaries that God would bless and use them.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We're presently studying a series entitled Stewarding Life. You can find out more about this series and hear recent broadcasts when you visit dailyintheword.org. Be sure to also consider subscribing to our daily devotional and the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word, take it with you on your computer or phone, and listen to it at your convenience. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chapel. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series with its recent broadcast. And you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Don't forget to visit us online at dailyintheword.org, and don't forget to look at Dr. Chapel's two newest books, Stewarding Life and Sacred Motives. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition, and until next time, have a great day.